Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Byron. Meseches Yoma has been dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Robert Goodman. Le'iloi Nishmas Chaim Menachem Aaron Ben Yecheskel Nechemia.
Yuma Daf Chof Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav B'Shaah SheYisrael Oilim Neregel Imdim Tzfufim U'Mishtachavim Revochim. Rashi explains Tzfufim is Loshen Tzaf. It's a Loshen of floating. They were packed together so closely that they were literally lifted off of the ground. Yet when they bowed down, it was meruvach. It was very spacious. The Gemara continues and brings the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which lists this Nes as one of the 10 Nisim which happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Oimdim tzufim u'mishtachavim revochim. Now Rashi says, what was the point of this Nes, mishtachavim revochim? Rashi says, u'kashem mishtachavim v'neiflim, the point of the Nes was that each person should not hear the vidui of the one standing next to him, and he should not get embarrassed when he speaks out and enumerates his chatoim. That was the point of the Nes. Now the Mashah in the Chidushei Agadois makes a few points about this Rashi. Firstly, he says, you see from Rashi that even though the vidui of the Kohen Gadol was be'amida, like we see in the Mishnah Lamed Hei Omed Beis, nevertheless the vidui of the rest of Klal Yisrael was be'ishtachavo, in order that they should not hear each other being mefaret their chatoim. It seems like the Mashal was bothered by that vidui has to be done be'amida. The truth is, this is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tov Reish Zayin, Siv Gimel, that one has to do vidui be'amida. In the Sefer Shmuel Chaim, he addresses this issue be'arichos, and he asks over there that the truth is that the Mogen Avraham over there in Tafresh Zayin says that you should not even be soimich on something while you're saying vidui. And if so, the kasha would be shver as well by the Kohen Gadol. He did his vidui while he was soimich on the carbon. Al Kaparim, this is a question that the Achronim deal with, but this is the first ta'ara of the Mashah on Rashi. And secondly, the Mashah asks, why was it necessary for Rashi to explain that the point of the Nes was that each one should not hear the other person when he says his chatoim? Why didn't Rashi explain very simply that the Nes was necessary in order to make the Hishtachavoyah possible? If they were oimdim svufim, they were standing so close, so packed together, so Hishtachavoyah would be impossible. And therefore the Nes was necessary to enable them to bow down. Why did Rashi have to add an extra reason that each one should not hear the vidui of his friend? This kasha the Mashal doesn't answer. However, some Achronim say that Rashi was medayik to give another reason why it was necessary that they should be spread out, they shouldn't hear each other's vidui, because Rashi understood when it says mishtachavim revachim, it doesn't merely mean to say that there was enough room for them to bow down. Rather, more than that, even when they bowed down, there was still space between them. Like Rashi goes out of his way to say that there was beneim arba amos, there was four amos between each one, even after they were bowing down. So in other words, the Nes was that there was room for them to bow down, and beyond that, there was still an extra space of four amos between each person and their friend. That Rashi feels necessary to explain why was that second half necessary. So Rashi says, Shlo yishma ish vidui shel chaveiroi shelo yikolin. That there had to be space between them beyond the extra room necessary to bow down, so that each one would not hear the vidui of his friend. Now another point that the Achronim are medayik from Rashi, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, it would seem to be a reason why this Nes was necessary on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is when all of Klal Yisrael bowed down and they had to be misvada. There was a reason, shelo yikolim, they should not be embarrassed from their friends. However, the Lashon of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is b'shoah sheYisrael oilim neregel, meaning each one of the Sholish Regalim, this Nes would take place. The way Rashi learns, the whole point of the Nes was only for the vidui that they should not hear each other. Why was it necessary during the Sholish Regalim? It seemed to only be necessary on Yom Kippur. So perhaps the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which merely says, Oimdin Sufim u'mishtachavim revochim, it doesn't say when this Nes took place, that perhaps we can explain is referring to Yom Kippur, but the memra of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav is clearly talking about all the Sholish Regalim. How could Rashi's explanation fit to explain the necessity of the Nes by the Sholish Regalim? So the Siach Yitzchok points this out, and he quotes a Tashbetz. The Tashbetz is in Chelek Gimel, Simin Lamed Zayin. And over there he has an Arichus about the Asar Nisim, which are mentioned in the Pirkei Avos. And the Shoyel, the one who wrote the letter to the Tashbetz, he has a lot of Chedushim, which many of them the Tashbetz argues on. And one of the things that they argue about is that the Shoyel, he understood that this Nes would take place every one of the Sholei Shvigolim. And the Tashbetz held that it wasn't necessary, because during the Sholei Shvigolim, all of Klai Yisrael did not have to be in Nazar at the same time. Just like we find by the Shechitas Karban Pesach, Klai Yisrael was divided into different groups, and then the Regolim also, they did not have to come into Nazar at the same time. They could make many shifts, and therefore it was not necessary to have this Nes. Only on Yom Kippur, when Klai Yisrael all heard together at the same time, the Shem HaMefayrish Yoytzim Epi Koyen Gadol, and they were all Meshtachaveh, and at that moment they all said Vidoy, there was necessary for there to be space between them. Like Rashi says, they should not be embarrassed from each other when they say Vidoy. So that's the Machloikas, the Tashbetz and the Shoyel. And the Siach Yitzchok over here, he quotes this Tashbetz, and he says Rashi seems to say like the Tashbetz, that the Nes was only necessary on Yom Kippur. And he asks, what's going to be pshat in the member of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, who seems to say that the Nes happened on each and every one of the Sholei Shvigolim? And the Siach Yitzchok says, we'll have to be madchik, that when it says, B'shosh Yisrael Oilum L'Regel, Oim Den Sfufim U'Meshtachav Mervachim, we have to read it differently. B'shosh Yisrael Oilum L'Regel, Oim Den Sfufim. When Klai Yisrael came to be Oilum L'Regel, and they were standing, it was very tzofuf. It was crowded together, they couldn't move. Yet nevertheless, when they had to bow down on Yom Kippur, Mishtachavim Mervachim, then they had enough space between them to bow down so that they would not be embarrassed Bizman Levidoy. So the Nes actually only took place on Yom Kippur. That's how the Tashbetz will have to learn the memory of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Now the Loshon of Rashi, Shla Yishma Ish Vidoy Shal Chaveiroi, the Achroinim bring that there's a similar Loshon in the Medrash in the end of Parshas Tzav. And the lashon over there is Shelo Yehei Echon Mehem Shemeya Kol Chaveri Mispalo. The Medrash doesn't say that they shouldn't hear each other saying Vidui, rather they should not hear the private tfilos of each other. Now the Siach Yitzchok says that even if you'll go with the nusach of the Medrash, Shelo Yishma Ish Tfilosei Shel Chaveri, and not the Vidui Shel Chaveri, nevertheless, the Siach Yitzchok says, we can still say like the Tashbetz, that the Nes only happened on Yom Kippur, and he explains because the rest of the year, a person is supposed to be mispalo belachash, he's supposed to daven quietly. The only person that's supposed to hear his tefillos is him himself. However, on Yom Kippur, there's an inyan to daven loud. The Beis Yosef in Erech Chaim, Simen Kuf Aleph, discusses this. This is where the din is brought, that b'derech chal, a person is supposed to daven quietly, he's not supposed to be magbia koilei b'tfilo. However, the Beis Yosef says on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the meaning was otherwise. People used to daven their own private tefillos loudly. And the Beis Yosef gives explanations over there why Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur was different. But Al Koponim, based on this, the Siach Yitzchok says that this is the reason why the Nes was necessary only on Yom Kippur and not the Sholei Shvigolim. Because the Sholei Shvigolim, even if one would want to daven for his own private tefillos, he would daven belachash and he would not raise his voice. Al Koponim, that's the Nidin, when exactly the Nes of Oim Den Tzvufim U'Meshtachavim Revachim took place. Was it during the Sholei Shvigolim or was it during Yom Kippur? Now there's another Shail over here. In the memory of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, he says, Afal Pishin Imshochim Achadasri Amo Achari Beis HaKapiris Oim Den Tzvufim U'Meshtachavim Revachim. Now what does it mean that they were Nimshochim Achadasri Amo Achari Beis HaKapiris? So Rashi says that usually Klal Yisrael was spread over the 11 Amos that was called Ezras Yisrael. That's the 11 Amos that Klal Yisrael were allowed to walk, the first 11 Amos of the Azara. Here they were pushed forward and they had to move along the Tzofin and the Durham side of the Azara until they were pushed all the way to the Meirv side of the Azara, and they were filled up the area, the 11 Amos, between Achiri Beis HaKapires and the Kosel Ma'arovi of the Azara. Now the Achronim point out that B'derech Klal, or Yisrael, was not allowed to walk into this area. The Mishnah in the first parak of Kelim discusses the 10 levels of Kedusha, and the Mishnah says that the Ezras Kayanim was Mekudesh more than the Ezras Yisrael. The first 11 Amos on the Mizrach side of the Azara was called the Ezras Yisrael, and beyond that was called Ezras Kayanim. And the Mishnah says that a Yisrael was not allowed to walk into the Ezra's Kayanim, Elo Bishas Tzarcheim, L'smicha, L'shchita, U'L'tnufa. Unless he had a reason to go there, for example, to do smicha on the carbon, or if a zar wanted to do shchita on the carbon, or if he had to do tnufa, then he was allowed to go into the Ezra's Kayanim. And the Mishnah continues, Bein ha'ulam l'mizbeach, in the area between the ulam and the mizbeach, that was even more mekodesh, that over there a bal mum, a kayin who was a bal mum, or a kayin who was a perui roish, he also was not allowed to go into that area. And therefore the achrayim ask, how was it that we find over here that a zar was able to go past the Ezra's Yisrael into the Ezra's Kayanim? And even more than that, he continued and he went to the Meirav side, past the Mizbeach, to the area which would be called Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach. And over there, even a Kayan cannot always go there. What is the heter? Just because the Azara is tofuf, is crowded, to go into areas which seem to be off limits to a zar. So the Hagayis Yavitz over here in the back of Yuma, he's bothered by this kasha. And he says that we have to say that when it says Nimshachim Acharas Re'ama Achari Beis HaKapayres, it has to be that the Kayanim, the ones who were allowed to go there, they were pushed inward. Since the Azar was so crowded, there wasn't enough room for everyone, so whoever was allowed to move inward, they were pushed there, and Enoch and Ami, the only ones that occupied that space, were the Kayanim, and not the Yisraelim. However, Lamaisa, this Kasha is already asked by Rishonim. The Ritz Geis in the Sefer Shari Simcha, in Hilchas Lulav, where he talks about the Minig of Aishanis, he quotes Rav Shri Ragoin. Rav Shri Ragoin says a big chiddush. He learns that when it says that they were makif the Mizbeach with the Arava, it does not mean that they walked around the Mizbeach, that they circled the Mizbeach. Rather, it means that they made a circle around the Mizbeach, but each person stayed in his place. And he says it can't be that they walked around in a circle, because some of the ones that were carrying the Aravis were Yisraelim, and Yisrael is not allowed to walk Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach. Therefore, it must be that everyone stood in his place. And it would seem that Rashi Ragai means to say that the ones who stood Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach, that part of the circle, they were Kayanim. That's the sheet of Rashi Ragai, and he says, therefore, the Erev Minug is not precisely the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash, because Erev Minug is to walk around, and there in the Beis HaMikdash, each one stood in his place. Now, the Ritz Geis is chaylik on this Rashi Ragai, and he says that the Lashon of Makifim is not mashmer like Rav Shira Gain, that they merely stood in a circle. Rather, it's mashmer that they walked around in a circle. And furthermore, he says, what does it mean that they were makif 7 times on a Shana Rabbah? How could you be makif 7 times? Mishlam, if you're walking around in a circle, you could walk around 7 times. But if you're merely forming a circle and everyone stands in their place, then Al Karchach, you'll have to say that it means that they formed a circle and then they left and they came back and once again formed a circle, and they did that 7 times. This, the Ritz Geis says, is not mistaber, and therefore he argues in Rashi Ragoin. And Lagabi, the Kasha that Rashi Ragoin asked, how could it be that they walked around in a circle, but Yisrael is not allowed to walk Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach, he brings it right from Erev Sugya. He says, you see in Erev Sugya that it's not a problem, as long as you're doing it L'Tzarech Mitzvah, then there's no Isser to walk in the area Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach. And therefore he learns Er Gemara Kipshutai, that the Klal Yisrael filled up the whole Azara, even the area Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach, and since they were doing it for a purpose, there's no problem, there's no Isser to walk there for a Zar. Now the Tosfos Ri Halavan here in Er Sugya and Yuma is also bothered by this Kasha. How is it allowed for Yisrael to walk beyond the first 11 Amos of the Azara? And he says that what they did was they walked along the sides of the Azara, the Tzofen side and the Durm side, which is really what Rashi as well says. And he says, as long as you walk along the sides, that's not Usur. And even Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach, that doesn't mean any area of the Azara further Meiriv, further west past the Mizbeach, is called Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach. Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach means directly in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. But if you're further north or further south, that's not called Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach. So as long as one stays close to the Tzofen wall of the Azara, or the Darm wall of the Azara, he can move all the way over to the Meirav side of the Azara, and he can end up behind the Beis HaKapayres, behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's not over on the din of coming Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach. And the Tosfos Ri Halavan says, but to actually come Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach Mamish, that definitely would be Asur. Even a Kain Bal Mum or a Kain Peru HaRoish was not allowed there, and definitely not a Zar. Akoponim, we have a machloikus over here when we say that they were nimshach to the 11 amos achori beisak apiris. Is there a heter to come even bein ulam lemizbeach? According to the Ritz Geis, there was a heter. This is called l'tzorich mitzvah. Just like b'hishanis, they were allowed to go there. Here also, they were allowed to go there. And the chari means to say it was the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel. That was called a mitzvah, which would be matter for a zar to come bein ulam lemizbeach. Whereas the Tosis Rialovan argued, he says there's no heter to come bein ulam lemizbeach. However, bein ulam lemizbeach means mamish between, directly between the ulam and the mizbeach. But further to the tzofin side, further to the dorm side, that's not considered bein ulam lemizbeach, and they made sure to stay only in those areas. There are those that want to say that this machloikis between the Ritz Geis and the Tosis Rialovan is totally in a machloikis rishonim about the din bein ulam lemizbeach, which is mentioned in the Mishnah in Kelim. The Bar Tanura on that Mishnah, in the first parak of Kelim, Mishnah Ches, he quotes machloikis rishonim, is it only a milo min der Rabbanon? This that a zar cannot come bein ulam lemizbeach, is it a din only min der Rabbanon, or is it a din dairaisa? The Rambam holds that it's min dairaisa. And the Bar Tanura brings b'shem Rabbi Yosef that it's only a milo min der Rabbanon. So perhaps the Ritz Geis who held that you're allowed to l'tzorich mitzvah come bein ulam lemizbeach, perhaps he held it's only midar bonon. Whereas the Tosis Rialovan, who held that there would be no heter to come bein ulam lemizbeach, he held that it's dereisa, and therefore there's no heter even l'tzorich mitzvah. Now Rav Shri Ragoin, who the Ritz Geis was coming to argue, Rav Shri Ragoin held that even l'tzorich arova, one cannot come bein ulam lemizbeach, perhaps he also held like the tzad that it was dereisa, and therefore he did not want to be matter l'tzorich mitzvah to come bein ulam lemizbeach. Now the Gemara Behemshech continues and brings more nisim which are not listed in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. There's a braisa, Rav Shmaya Mikalnavoy, he says, Shivrei kli cheres nivloim bim koimon. Rashi explains that these are the shivrei kli cheres that you are mevashal kodshe kodshim in them, and the bliya is neser mishum noiser the next morning, and they need shvira, they have to be broken, like the Pasuk says, ukli cheres asher tevushal ba yishover. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Zvachim that the shvira, they have to be broken dafka b'mokoyim kodesh, dafka in the Azara. And therefore Rashi concludes, v'im ein nevloim nimtzohu ashpesois shal shvorim ba'azara. If they would not be swallowed by the ground, these shivrei kli cheres would form piles of garbage in the Azara. Now the Tosis Hashanim over here asks on Rashi, he quotes this Gemara in Zvachim as well, that the shvira has to be done dafka b'mokoyim kodesh. He says, "Avoloya dinon mikra minolon she'achas shvirason ina yochel loitzion misham." Where do we know that after they're broken, there's an issur to take them out of the Azara? Once you are mekayim this mitzvah of breaking the klicheres and doing it in the mokum kodesh, doing it in the Azara, why afterwards is it a problem to take it out of the Azara and get rid of them? And he leaves it off as a kasha. The Ritva as well is bothered by this kasha. Why can't you take the shivrei kli cheres outside the Azara after the shvira? And he says, you have to say, Gemara Gmiri La, there was a Mesoira that this din is true, that you cannot take the shivrei kli cheres outside the Azara. And therefore this nes of the ground swallowing up the shivrei kli cheres was necessary, because if not, Nimtso Ashpesois shall shvarim be'azara. Now, behemshach haGemara, Abaya adds, Mura'a v'noitza v'dishen mizbeach apnimi v'dishen hamenoira nivloim mimkoimon. All these things as well were also nivla into the ground. Now, the Gemara does not mention, what about dishen mizbeach achitzin? The mitzvah of trumas hadeshen, which is mentioned beforeish in the Pasuk, and the Pasuk says that you put the deshen next to the mizbeach on the side of the kevesh. What happened to that deshen? There's no mention in the Gemara. What happened? Was it also swallowed up by the ground? So Tosis over here, Dibra Maschon, Nevloin bin Kaimon, he brings the Machloikis Rishonim. He brings B'Shem Rav Poiras, that says, Hu Adin, Dishon Mizbeach Achitzon, it was also swallowed up by the ground. However, Rabbeinu Tam argues, Rabbeinu Tam says, the Mashmois of the Gemara is, only these things mentioned. There's no mention of Chumas Adeshen, therefore it's Mashmois that it was not swallowed up in the ground. And he brings an additional raya for the Gemara in Psachim and the Gemara in Tmura, which darshens from the Pasuk, which says by Chumas Hadeshen, V'somoy Itzal HaMizbeach, and the Gemara darshens, V'somoy Benachas, V'somoy Shelo Yifazer. We learn from this pasuk that you should put it down gently and make sure that it doesn't get scattered. And the Gemara understands this means to say that it's osur bahano, and therefore it's ton gniza, it has to be buried. And Rabbeinu Tam says, what do you mean it has to be buried? What is it negeh to us that it's osur bahano? Either way, it was swallowed up by the ground and it's not accessible. So that's his raya, it's mucha from here, that the neis did not happen to the Chumah Sadeshin. The Chumah Sadeshin was not swallowed up by the ground. Lemaisa Taisus is matrik, and he says, Yeshleimer, Kroa lav anisa samach. The Torah that says, V'samoy shelo yifazer, from here we learn that it has to be buried, and it's osur ba'ano, that's because the pasuk is not soymich on the neis, that it would be swallowed by the ground, and therefore the Torah has to tell us that it's osur ba'ano. Taisus continues, it says, another teretz, inami nirli im chofer shom v'hoitzi yoisei, komar da'afer hekdish lo'ilo moser. The Torah has to tell us that even though it's swallowed by the ground, but if a person would go and dig it out, we have to know that the din is that it's osur bahano. So HaKoparam Taisus is matrik this raya, but we have a machoikis rishonim between the Rav Pairas and Rabbeinu Tam, was the Chumah Sadeshin also swallowed up by the ground? Now the ma'aseh we had earlier on Chof HaManaf is a Mefurish Rashi that says, like Rav Pairas, Rashi says that the Chumah Sadeshin was swallowed by the ground. Rashi is on the Chof HaManaf on the Mishnah, Dibar Maschol Torah Mesim Mizbeach, Rashi Torah Dvarav, he's talking about Chumah Sadeshin, and he sticks in V'nivla B'mkoymai. Rashi holds like Rav Pairas that the neis of Nivla B'mkoymai was by the Chumah Sadeshin as well. However, the kasha remains, why is it not mentioned over here in Eretz Sugya together with the Murah of Inoitza and the Dishin Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Dishin Minoiro, which was Nivla B'mkoymai? Why is there no mention of the Chumah Sadeshin? The Ritva in the Sugya as well brings the Machlokes Rishonim. He quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds that there was no neis of Nivla B'mkoymai by the Chumah Sadeshin. And he says, Achirim Pirshu. He brings another shita that holds to pa'amim nivlas upa'amim lo yeira ba neis v'lo yisa nivlas. Sometimes it was nivla on the ground, and sometimes there was no neis and it was not nivla. Or he says oishlo yisa nivlas la'alter elo la'achar zman. Or perhaps sometimes the neis did not happen immediately, and it took a while for it to be nivla. And therefore he says ulahachi le'imani le'hacha. Therefore it's not mentioned over here because this neis did not always occur, or sometimes it occurred only over time. He doesn't offer an explanation why would it be that the Murah and the Noitza and the Dishin Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Menorah that always had the Nais of Nivla of M'kaymai as opposed to the Chumah Sadeshin, which the Nais did not always take place. HaKaparim, this is the Mashayla and the Rishonim, whether the Chumah Sadeshin was Nivla or not. Rav Pairas, as well as Rashi, they hold that it was Nivla. Rabbeinu Tam holds that it was not Nivla. And the Ritva brings a shita b'shem la'achirim that perhaps this neis sometimes happened but did not always occur, and therefore it's not mentioned over here in the sugya. Now further on we have the memra of Rabbi Shua ben Levi about the neis of the lechem aponim. He says, silukoi kisiduroi. When it was removed from the shulchan after sitting there a whole week, it was in the identical state as of the moment when it was placed originally on the shulchan at the beginning of the week. And the Gemara continues on and says that this neis was called nisi de baroi, a neis that took place on the outside, as opposed to the neis of the arin, which the Gemara says is not mentioned, because that's a nisi de gavoi, a neis that took place inside that people did not see. Now why is the neis of the lechem aponim called nisi de baroi? So the Gemara quotes Reish Lakish, the pasuk says, al shulchan atar mechlal shu tamei. The pasuk is mashma that the shulchan could be mekabel tumo, and Reish Lakish asks, how could it be mekabel tumo? It's a kli eitz ha'osli lenachas, a kli eitz which is not moved, and therefore it should not be mekabel tumo. And he says, from here we see melamed shemagbin oisli la'oli regolim va'omrim lahem ruuchi baschem lefnei amokoyim shasilukoi kisiduroi shenemar losum lechem choyim b'yoyim hilokoi. That the kohenim would take the shulchan and show it to the Klal Yisrael so that they should see this neis and they should see their chibo lefnei hamokim. Now what does it mean shemagbin oisai? Rashi says, Dibar Maschol shemagbin oisai umarin oisai lechutz. They would show it to the people standing outside and therefore it would be called anisi debaroi. However, on the Gemara on the side, some girsais have a different girsa. Instead of umarin oisai lechutz, umatzin oisai lechutz, that they would take the shulchan outside. they would take it out of the Heichal and show it to the people in the Azara so that they should see this Nes. Now there's a discussion in the Achreinim, did they actually take the Shochan and remove it, take it outside of the Heichal and bring it into the Azara or not? This is telling the two Gersois of Rashi. So the Mishnah LeMelech, it's in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Metami Mishkov Umoishov, Halacha Yud Aleph, he discusses these two Gersois of Rashi. And he says it's totally how to learn the sugya in Chagiga Daf Chav Vav. The Mishnah over there, Chav Vav Amar Aleph, says that they were Misha'over HaRegel Ma'avirin Al Tairus HaZorah. They would go through the process of being Matar the Azara after the Regel, when Amaya Aretz came to be Oyla the Regel, and they were Matam of things in the Azara. And the Mishnah says, Keitzen Ma'avirin Al Tairus HaZorah Matbil Nesakelim Shohayu Bamigdosh. They would toivel all the kelim, and the Mishnah says va'omrim lahem. During the regal, they would tell the people, "Hizaru shloit tigu b'shulchan." One thing that they had to make sure does not become tamei was the shulchan, and therefore they would make sure to tell people, "Be extra careful not to be metame the shulchan." Rashi explains why was the shulchan worse than any other kelim. Rashi says because they couldn't be toivel the shulchan. She efshar l'salkay mimikaymai. There has to constantly be lechem aponim on the shulchan, and therefore you cannot remove it and take it to be toivel, because during those moments there won't be lechem aponim on the shulchan, and you'll be mevatel the mitzvah of lechem aponim lefonai tomid. Therefore the Mishnah tells us that we have to be extra careful not to let the shulchan become tomid. Now Rashi says, what does it mean we told them Hizaru Shlaitigo b'shulchan? Who did we tell this to? So Rashi on the Mishnah says, we told the Kohanim Amaya Aretz. We told the Kohanim, who are Amaya Aretz, who came to be Oyla L'Regel, that they should be careful not to touch the Shulchan. Tosfos as well over there in Chagiga, and Chofov and Beis, Tosfos says, we told the Amaya Aretz, who came inside the Heichal, the Hishtachavos, they came to bow down in the Heichal on the days of the Regel, and we tell them to be careful not to touch the Shulchan. And Taisa says, the Ilul Yisrael, lo hayu ruyin leilech af bein ulam lemizbeach. Yisraelim couldn't come inside the Heichal, they couldn't even come between the ulam and the Mizbeach. So there's no chshash that the Yisraelim would touch the Shulchan, they weren't in that area bechlal. The chshash was that the Kohanim might come to touch it and be metamet. Now the Rambam learns differently. He learns Hizaru Shlaitigo B'Shulchan is not referring to the Kayanim, it's referring to Klal Yisrael. The Rambam in Hilchos Metamei Mishkov U'Moshov Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, he brings the din that they were Metaher the Azara after the Regel. He says, Achar HaRegel B'Matzo Yontif Ha'yumadbilin Es Kol HaKelim Shehoyu B'Migdosh V'Pnei Shenogo B'Hem Amei Ha'Oretz B'Shas HaChag. And the Rambam continues, "Ulafika chaya oimrim hizaru shloit tigu b'shulchan b'sha'a shemarin oisei la'oli regalim kedei shlo yehi tomei b'magon achar haregel v'nimtza tarach tfilo v'harav shemesh v'nemar b'lechem aponim l'fonai tomid." The Rambam is quoting this Mishnah that they told him hizaru shloit tigu b'shulchan, and he says, when was this? This was at the time they showed the lechem aponim to the oli regalim. And at that moment there was a chash that one of the Amhi Ha'aretz would touch it and be metamit. So therefore they told them, make sure not to touch it. The Rambam is saying clearly, not like Rashi and Tosfos. The chash was not about the Kohanim who went inside the Heichal. The chash was when all of Klal Yisrael, when they brought the Shulchan to show them the Lechem upon him, we had to tell everyone not to touch the Shulchan to be metamit. And the Mishnah Lamech says, this is the Machlokes, Rashi and the Tosfos Keneged the Rambam. What does it mean that they showed the Shulchan to the Klal Yisrael? Does it mean that they merely lifted it up, which is the Gersa that we have in Rashi, that they raised the Shulchan to show everyone? Or is it the Pshat that they took the Shulchan outside into the Azara to show it to everyone? And the Mishnah Lamech says that Rashi and Tosfos are going that they didn't bring the Shulchan outside, so there's no chash that a Yisrael would touch the Shulchan. The chash was only on a Kohen. Whereas the Rambam held that the Shulchan was brought outside into the Azara, and therefore there's a chash that Yisrael would touch the Lechem upon him. So the Mishnah Lamech continues, and he says, L'chayra, from the fact that Ar Suya calls it a Nisi Dibaroi, a Nes that takes place outside, L'chayra, that would be Mashma, more like the Rambam. However, he says, Rashi is Meduyik, not like that. Rashi says, why was it called a Nisi Dibaroi? Rashi says, because it was a Nes that was Yadu'a Lakol. The reason why it was called Nisi Debarai is not because it actually took place outside of Nazara, but it was seen by people in Nazara, and therefore it was known by everyone. It wasn't like the Kapores, which was inside, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which no one saw. That's called a Nisi Degavoi. But the Nes of Lechem upon him, which people outside saw it, that's called a Nisi Debarai. And the Mishnah Baruch says, from the fact that Rashi has to go out of his way to explain why was it called Nisi Debarai, because it was Yadua Lakol, it was known to the people outside, that would be mashma more like the Girsa and Rashi, Umarin Oysel Achutz, it was shown to the people outside, and not like the Girsa of Metzion Oysel Achutz, that it was taken outside. Because if the Shulchan was actually taken outside, Rashi should have said that it was a Nisi Debarai, because the Nes itself took place sometimes outside in the Azara. So Rashi would be mashma that the Nes actually only took place inside the Heichal. And it was called Nisi Debarai because it was a Yadua Lakol, people were able to see it from the outside. Now Lamaisa, the Mishnah Melech himself, concludes like the other Tzad that the Shulchan was actually taken outside. He quotes a Yushalmi in the end of Chagiga, which is Mefurish. It says clearly, Hayumitzin Oisai, Umarin Oisai La'il Regalim. It says Mefurish that the Shulchan was taken outside into the Azara. And furthermore, he asks, if you hold like Rashi and Tosfos, that it was merely shown to the people outside, he says, how were they able to see from so far that the Lechem was still fresh? How could they possibly have seen that it was Silukai Kesidurai, that it was the same when it was removed as when it was originally placed there? And additionally, he asks another kasha. He says, if you learn, like Rashi, that the reason why it was called Nisi Debarai is because it was Yadua Lakol, it was seen to the people outside, even though the Nes took place inside, the Gemara says that the Nes of the Kruvim was called Nisi Degavoi. That took place inside. And the Mishnah Melech quotes the Gemara later on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, which says, B'shah Shahu Yisrael Oilim Neregel Megalin Lahem Besa Paroiches. They would roll up the pareches, umarin lahem es akruvim, shahoyu mu'urin ze bezeh, va'ayrim lahem ru'uchi baschem lefnei ha'mokoyim. They used to roll up the pareches so that Klal Yisrael could see inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they could see the kruvim facing each other. And if so, the Mishnah Melech asks, the same way Rashi says that the Nes of the Shulchan was called a Nisi Debarai because it was seen outside and it was Yadua Lakol, if so, the Nes of the Kruvim, which Agamar mentions, should be called Nisi Debarai for the same reason. It was also seen by the Oilei Regel when they rolled up the Pareiches. It should also be called a Nisi Debarai. And therefore he says, he concludes that the Gemara is mashma, that really the Shulchan was taken outside into the Azara, and that's the reason why it was called Nisi Debarai. Because the actual Nes was brought into the Azara. Masha'enke, the Nes of the Kruvim, even though it was seen by from outside, but since the actual Nes was inside, that would be called a Nisi Degavoi and not a Nisi Debarai. Now, as far as the Kasha of the Mishnah Lamelech, how is it possible to see from a distance that the Lechem was still warm, that it's Siluka Kisidurai? This Kasha the Ritva already asks. The Ritva in Arsugyo says clearly, like the Tzad that the Mishnah Melech brings, that the Shulchan stayed inside, it didn't go outside. And they saw the Nes from a distance. And the Ritva says, how is it possible to see from a distance that it was still fresh? And he says, V'nire ki b'shas sima ulekicha, both at the time it was placed on the Shulchan, and when it was removed from the Shulchan, hayacham harbe, it was so hot, ad sheyia hevel yotze mimenu, there was steam coming out of the lechem. Kelechem ha-yotze min ha-tanur, just as it comes out of the oven. V'hainu d'armina, that's what the Gemara means, shemagbin es ha-shulchan im ha-lechem sha'olov, umarin oysa le'oyle regolem sheyiru ha-neis, v'yefshar l'rois mirochak sh'hayacham elo al-derech sha'omernu. He says, this is what the Gemara means, that you could see the Nes from a distance. It must be the pshat was that it was so hot that there was still steam coming out from it, and that's why it was possible to see it from far away. So the Ritva clearly holds like this Tzad, and he answers the kasha of the Mishnah Lamelech, why was it that they were able to see it from far, even though they did not bring the Shulchan outside into the Azara? So we have a teretz to this kasha of the Mishnah Lamelech. Now as far as the other kasha that we mentioned, the Mishnah Melech asks, what is this Nes different than the Nes of the Kruvim? That Nes Lecher is also seen when they rolled up the Pareiches, like the Gemara says in Daf Nun Dalid. So this Ritva does not answer, but we have a different Teretz, the Tosfos Yeshanim on Daf Nun Dalid Amud Aleph asks this Kasha. Why wasn't the nes of the Kruvim mentioned as a nes which happened outside? It was seen by the people outside when they rolled up the Pareches. And he gives the Teretz. He says, as far as the nes, that the Kruvim sometimes would face each other and sometimes they would turn around, he says that was not considered a nes because the way the Kruvim were originally built by Shlomo was that they faced each other. So when they rolled up the Kruvim to show the Chiba, the Klal Yisrael saw the Kruvim facing each other, that wasn't actually seeing a nes. That's the way the Kruvim were originally built. And as far as the nes, which is mentioned in Er Gemara, that the Aron did not take up Mokaim inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that the Tosfos Yeshanim says was not a nes which is nicker so much. Since Klal Yisrael did not measure the space of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the nes was not easily discerned, and therefore it's not considered nisi debaroi. So we have a teretz to this kasha of the Mishnah Melech as well, and from the Tosfos Yeshanim, it would seem that he as well held that the pshat in the Gemara by us, that the nes of the Shulchan was nisi debaroi, is the pshat because it was seen from the outside. And that's why the Tosfos Yeshanim had shver, what's the difference between Er nes and the nes of the Kruvim, both of them were seen from outside. Because if he would have learned Er Gemara, like the Mishnah Melech says, B'dasa Rambam, that the Shulchan was taken into the Azara, then his kasha wouldn't start. It's partially why the Shulchan is called the Nisi de Baroi, as opposed to the Nes of the Kruvim, which is called Nisi de Gavoi. So the Tosfos Yeshanim seems to be another Rishon who holds that the Shulchan was not actually taken outside to the Azara, it was merely raised so that Klal Yisrael can see it from a distance. Now the Radvaz, in the Tshuvas Chelik Vov, Simon Shnei Alofim Kuf Ayin Ches, he discusses the Shaila as well, was the Shulchan actually taken out into the Azara or not? And he says, L'chaira, if it was not taken outside, how is it possible to see the Nes from a distance? And he quotes this Radva, the Radva that says that the Lechem was so hot that it let off steam. And the Radvaz says that this is shver to say such a big chiddush, that there was such an extreme nes, and the nes was unnecessary. Mishnah, we can understand the nes, that the lechem should stay fresh for the entire week, so that the kainim could enjoy the lechem upon them when they eat it at the end of the week. But why would Hashem make a nes that it should be so hot that it let off steam? That would seem to be an unnecessary nes. And even if perhaps during the time of the regel, there was a reason to have such a nes, so that Klal Yisrael should see from a distance that the lechem was hot, but why was it necessary to always have that nes? Mashmoy says that the same nes took place constantly. Why would it be necessary for such an extreme nes that the lechem should be so hot? And he says that the truth is even lechem which is very hot does not let off steam. The Radva says the Matiyah says only when you cut it. When you slice through it, then it lets off steam if it's very hot. But otherwise there is no steam. And therefore he wants to say, not like the Ritva. And he says what they did was that they brought the Shulchan a little bit closer to the Pesach of the Heichal, so that Klal Yisrael who were standing outside can see when they're misalik the old Lechem and put on the new Lechem. And immediately after they took off the Lechem from the previous week, they brought the Lechem outside into the Azara to show everyone. And when they showed it to them up close, they saw it was fresh, and they showed them, Ru'uchi Baschem Lefnei HaMokoyim. So they did not take the Shulchan outside, but they did take the Lechem outside, and the way Klal Yisrael was able to see that it was still fresh is when they looked at the Lechem up close. And he says, Rashi and Tosfos, in Chagiga that we mentioned before, he says they definitely held like this, that the Shulchan was not taken outside, and therefore Rashi had to explain that Hizaru Shleitigu B'Shulchan is referring to the Kainim Amei Ha'aretz. And he says more than that, he says, how could you possibly say that the Shulchan was taken outside? The pasuk about the lechem upon him says lefanai tomid. It has to constantly be inside the heichal. Lefanai means that the lechem is in its proper place in the heichal lefnei Hashem. Once you take it outside, you're mevatel the mitzvah of lefanai tomid. And even for a short moment, would already be mevatel the inyan of tomid. And therefore, he says akorchach they did not take the shulchan outside the heichal. And what they did do was they brought it closer to the Pesach HaHeichal so that Klal Yisrael could see them taking off the Lechem, and then they would immediately bring the Lechem and show it to Klal Yisrael, and they would see that it's still fresh. And with this he explains, that's why it was called a Nes of Baroi, a Nes that happened outside, because the Lechem itself was taken outside. After the Lechem was removed to the Shulchan, they brought the Lechem, and the Lechem which was still fresh was seen outside in the Azara, that's why it was called a Nes of Baroi. Now the Radvaz had a girsa in Rashi, Metzian Oysa Lachut. Not like the girsa we had, Marin Oysa Lachut. Like the other girsa, Metzian Oysa Lachut. And he wants to say that even Rashi doesn't mean that you took out the Shulchan. He says, Metzian Oysa Lachut could either mean that they brought the Shulchan closer to the Pesach HaHechol, so that it could be seen outside. So they brought it towards the Chutz. Or Metzian Oysa Lachut could be referring to the Lechem, that the Lechem was taken outside. But not that the Shulchan was taken outside of the Heichal and brought into the Azara. Because he says, if not, it's a steer in Rashi. The Rashi in Chagiga, like we mentioned, he clearly held that the Shulchan was not taken outside. So Rashi here that says, Mitzin Oysa Lachutz, will have to say that it doesn't really mean that the Shulchan was taken outside. According to the Gersa that we have, the Kasha doesn't start. Rashi doesn't say, Bechal Mitzin Oysa Lachutz. All he says is, Marin Oysa Lachutz. Hakoponim, we have a machloikis. The Mishnah Melech says that the pashtus is that they did take it outside. His ikar raya is from the fact that it was called a nisi de baroi. And he says, don't tell me it means that it was seen from outside, because if so, the nes of the kruvim should also be mentioned. And the Radvaz holds no, he says the pashtus is that it was not taken outside. His ikar taina is that if it was taken outside, you'll be mevatel. The pasuk that says, lefonai tomid, and the kasha that why it was nisi de baroi, he says it's because he took the lechem outside. That's why it was called nisi de baroi. Now the Gemara later on Amud Beis, says that there were five things that Klai Yisrael had in the Migdash Rishon and did not have in the Migdash Sheni. Arun, Vekapires, Ukruvim. Rashi says this is all counted as one. Eish, Shechina, Ruach HaKodesh, V'urim V'tumim. Now Tosis over here, Dibramascha, V'urim V'tumim, Tosis says, Urim V'tumim Havu. It doesn't mean that Klai Yisrael did not have the Urim V'tumim Mechlal. They had it. Shem Loikein, Hayakoyin Godol, Mechusar Begodim. If they did not have the Urim V'tumim Bechlal, the Kohen Gadol would be possible for Avodah, he would not have all his Shmeinah Begodim. Ela lo hayu meshivin l'neshalim behem. It means that the Urim V'tumim did not answer the questions that were posed to it. Now this actually is Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid. We discussed this earlier on Daf Hei Amud Beis. The Rambam in Perek Daud, Hilchos Beis HaBechira Halacha Aleph, he says like Tosfos. He says, "Va'af urim v'tumim shahayu b'bayis sheni lohayu meshivim beruach hakodesh v'lohayu nishalim behen shenemar ad amoid koyin leurim v'tumim." That the urim v'tumim would not answer the questions, and therefore they didn't ask the questions. And the Rambam continues, "V'lohayu oisim oisa." The only reason they made the urim v'tumim elo lahashlim shmeinim begodim lekayin gadol kadesh lo yihya mechusar begodim. He says clearly like Taisus that there was Urim V'tumim, just it wasn't used to answer the questions. Now the Raver over there argues, and he says, Urim V'tumim V'ruach HaKodesh Shnei Dvarim Hei Min HaChamisha. The Gemara lists Urim V'tumim and Ruach HaKodesh as two separate things. And according to the Rambam, they're all one thing. There was Urim V'tumim, just it didn't answer the questions, meaning there was no Ruach HaKodesh. And therefore the Ravid concludes that there was no Urim V'tumim Bechlal. So therefore it's two separate things. There was no Urim V'tumim, and then additionally there was no Ruach HaKodesh. And the Ravid says, and if you'll ask that it should be Mechusar Begodim, like Tosfos and the Rambam said, that the Ravid says, Einoi Klum, that's not a Kasha Bechlal, She'einoi Mecheshben HaBegodim. The Urim V'tumim is not one of the Begodim. So we have Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether Urim V'tumim means that there was no Urim V'tumim Bechlal, or there was, just it didn't answer the questions. Now the Kesef of Mishnah comes to answer for the Rambam, what's he going to do with the Ravid's Kasha, that the Urim V'tumim and the Ruach HaKodesh are listed as two separate things, according to the Rambam it should be one. So he says the Rambam will learn, not like Rashi, the Rambam will learn the Aroin, V'kapores, Ukruvim, those are three separate things, not like Rashi who counted it as one. And the Rambam would hold that Ruach HaKodesh and Shechina and Urim V'tumim, that's all counted as one. So therefore the Rambam's five are Aroin, Kapores, and Kruvim, that's three. Eish is the fourth one. And the fifth one is Shechina of Ruach HaKodesh and Urim V'tumim, that's all counted as one. Now the Kesef Mishnah explains what's the Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether there would be a problem of Chisr Begodim if there would be no Urim V'tumim. The Rambam says that if there's no Urim V'tumim, then it's Mechusar Begodim. The Ravid says Urim V'tumim is not a beged. So the Kesef Mishnah says that the Ravid holds that the Urim V'tumim is the Shem HaMefeirush. This is the Shita of some Rishonim, Urim V'Tumim memes, the Shema Mefarish, which was written on a piece of cloth and placed between the folds of the Choshen. And therefore the Ravid holds, if it's missing, there's no problem of Mechusar Begodim, it's not a Beget. What does the Rambam hold? So the Kesef Mishnah says, HaRambam Koyre Poi Urim V'Tumim L'Choshen B'Derech HaSh'Ola. The Kesef Mishnah is trying to say that the Rambam argues, what does Urim V'Tumim mean? But it's not clear exactly what does the Kesef Mishnah mean, how is he explaining the Rambam, what exactly is Urim V'Tumim referring to. However, the Merkeves HaMishnah, he explains the Rambam, and perhaps this is what the Kesef Mishnah means as well, that the Rambam holds the term Urim V'Tumim is referring to the Avne HaChoshen itself. He says the Rambam learns when the Pasuk says, V'yiten al HaChoshen es HaUrim V'Tumim, the Urim V'Tumim, according to the Rambam, is the Avne HaChoshen. The Pasuk is telling us to put the Avnei Choshen into the Choshen. This is actually the Shita of Reb Nissim Goyin and Reb Shvira Goyin. It's mentioned in the Oitzer HaGoyinim in the beginning of Brochus. That's what the Merkavis HaMishnah explains with Asa Rambam, and therefore the Rambam holds that if the Avnei Choshen were not there, it would be a problem of Mechusar Begodim. It's as if the Choshen itself is not there. And therefore the Rambam had to learn that there was Urim V'Tumim, in other words, there was Avnei Choshen, but the Avnei HaChoshen did not answer the questions that were posed to it. Now, as far as the kasha that the Ravid asked on the Rambam, that according to the Rambam, the Urim V'Tumim and Ruach HaKodesh is really one and the same, the reason why the Urim V'Tumim did not answer is because there was no Ruach HaKodesh. So the Merkeves HaMishnah sends us to the Rambam in Perek Yud, Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Halacha Yud. And that Rambam would seem to strengthen the kasha of the Ravid. The mashmoyis of the Rambam over there is that the reason there was no Urim V'Tumim, in other words, that the Urim V'Tumim didn't answer the questions, is because there was no Ruach HaKodesh. The lashon of the Rambam is like this: Osu b'bayis sheni Urim V'Tumim kedei lehashlam shmeina begodim, va'af al pi shaloi hoyu nishalom behem. Like the Rambam we mentioned before in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, and he continues, we pnei ma loy hoyu shaylam behem, we pnei shaloi hoyse sham Ruach HaKodesh. V'chol koyin she'eino yimedaber beruach hakodesh ve'ein shchina shayra alov ein neshalon boy. The Rambam says the reason they couldn't use the Urim V'Tumim is because the Kohen Gadol who was supposed to pose the question, he didn't have ruach hakodesh, and you can't pose a question unless you have ruach hakodesh. So the Rambam is clearly saying the Urim V'Tumim cannot be used because there was no ruach hakodesh, which seems to strengthen the kasha of the Ravi that ruach hakodesh and Urim V'Tumim is one and the same. So you could learn like the Kesef Mishnah says with Asa Rambam that Ein Echanami, the Rambam counts Ruach HaKodesh, Urim V'Tumim, and Shechina as one, and he counts Aron, Kaporis, and Kruvim as three separate ones. However, there's another Mahalach with Asa Rambam. The Brisker Rav, on this Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, he quotes the Rambam who says the reason they did not ask from the Urim V'Tumim is because they did not have Ruach HaKodesh. And he quotes the Gemara in Soita Daf Memches. The Mishnah over there says, "Mishemesu nevim harishonim batla urim v'tumim." The urim v'tumim no longer served its purpose after the nevim rishonim died. And the Gemara says, "Who were these nevim rishonim?" At first, the Gemara has it sad to say it means David and Shlomo. The Maskana of Nachman and Bar Yitzchok says it means the afukei chagai zechayu malachai. Nevim Rishonim means the Nevim who served in the first Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to the Nevim who served in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Brisker Rav asks, you see from this Gemara that the Urim V'Turim was not totally in Nevuah. Even in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, when there still was Nevuah, nevertheless the Urim V'Turim did not answer the questions that were posed to it. And according to one man, the Omar, even during Bayis Rishon, the Urim V'Turim did not always answer. So you see clearly that the Urim V'Tumim is not totally in Nevuah. So how could the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash say the reason they did not ask the Urim V'Tumim is because there was no Nevuah? You see clearly from the Sugya in Saita that the Urim V'Tumim is not totally in Nevuah. And furthermore, the Rambam himself in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, he paskens like the Maskana and the Gemara in Saita, and he says that the Urim V'Tumim would not be Meshiv during the Tkufa of Bayis Sheni. This is like the Maskana of the Gemara in Saita, that from the beginning of Bayis Sheni, even though there was Nevuah, but once the Nevi'im Rishonim were Mesu, then the Urim V'Tumim did not answer. And the Nevi'im Rishonim, the Gemara comes out, the Maskana means, as opposed to the Nevi'im in the beginning of Bayis Sheni. So in other words, that the end of the Tkufa of the Urim V'Tumim answering was the beginning of Bayis Sheni, and that's how the Rambam says in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. So why is it that the Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash says that they stopped asking from the Urim V'Tumim when there no longer was Nevuah? L'chair, it's not totally in Nevuah B'chlal. So the Brisker Rav says that if you look carefully in the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Lashon is V'af Urim V'Tumim Shehayu B'Bayis Sheni Loi Hayu Mishivim Baruch HaKadosh V'Loi Hayu Nishalom Behem. The Rambam says 2 points. Firstly, he says that Urim V'Tumim did not answer the questions that were posed to it. That already was from the beginning of Bayis Sheni. And furthermore, the Rambam says, and they stopped asking the Urim V'Tumim as well. And the Brisker Rav explains that the Rambam means Loi Hayu Mishivim, that's even when there was Nevuah, and they were able to pose questions with Ruach HaKodesh to the Urim V'Tumim, but Lamaisa, the Urim V'Tumim never ended up answering them from the beginning of the Tkufa of Bayis Sheni. That's the main point of the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, where he's listing all the things that they did not have in Bayis Sheni. One of them was that the Urim V'Tumim did not give them answers to their questions. However, there's another point, and this is what the Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash is Be'ikar coming to say, that in order to ask a question from the Urim V'Tumim, it was necessary to have Ruach HaKodesh, to have Nevuah. And therefore the Rambam says, from when Nevuah stopped, they no longer posed questions to the Urim V'Tumim. Now when was this? This was not at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, at that moment they still had Nevuah. But later on, after Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi were Nifter, they no longer had Nevuah, then they stopped posing questions to the Urim V'Tumim. So in other words, having Nevuah is a prerequisite to asking a question from the Urim V'Tumim. If someone does not have Ruach HaKodesh, he's not able to pose a question. But that does not mean that as long as there was Nevuah, the Urim V'Tumim always gave an answer. From the beginning of Bayis Sheni, Lemaisa, they never got an answer from the Urim V'Tumim. Like the Mishnah in Saita says, Mishameisu Nevi'im Rishonim, which the Maskana means that from the beginning of Bayis Sheni, they never Lemaisa received an answer. But they were trying, they were asking questions. And that, like the Rambam says, they stopped asking from when the moment Nevuah stopped, then they stopped even posing the questions to the Urim V'Tumim. Now based on this, the Brisker Rav answers the Rambam from the Ravid's Kasha, why is it considered two different things in the Braisa, Ruach HaKodesh and Urim V'Tumim? Ruach HaKodesh means when Nevuah stopped, and like Rashi says, that was from the second year of Daryovesh, that actually was not at the beginning of the Tkufa of Bayis Sheni, but soon afterwards, Nevuah stopped already. And according to the Rambam, from that moment, they cannot even pose a question from the Urim V'Tumim, because Ruach HaKodesh was a prerequisite. And additionally, another one of the 5 things was Urim V'Tumim. That means, like the Gemara in Saita says, from the beginning of the Tkufa of Bayis Sheni, the Urim V'Tumim no longer gave them answers to their questions. And like the Brisker Rav explains, that's not a din that it wasn't able to give answers. They were still posing their questions and trying to get answers. Rather, it's a metzius, lemaisa, the Braisa is telling us, it never happened that the Urim V'Tumim did give an answer from the beginning of the Tkufa of Bayis Sheni.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.